intergalactic planet every planetary This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Final hour of the show, The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We were having such a good day.
I don't even want to do this show anymore.
Nick, you're up.
I'm so pissed.
With all of the things we were talking about.
Go, Pack, go.
I like it.
Shut it.
It's awesome.
Shut your mouth.
Do they do the chop in Kansas City?
Yes, so you'd be racist.
See what he's doing here?
See?
He's lobbying. He's lobbying. Clearly lobbying.
Nick, you like quesadillas?
Quesadillas?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Barry, you like them, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know what the main ingredient for those quesadillas is? Cheese.
Tortillas.
Cheese.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's in there. I don't
come
know
on
that's
over,
the main
come on
ingredient.
Over the main
ingredient.
If you get
cheese
a chicken quesadilla, it's not the main ingredient.
It's one of them. You got a chief in there? I don't think so. You want some feathers in your quesadilla? Okay, then.
Oh, my God. You'll say anything
wow.
to turn someone into a
right,
Packers
fan. Right, because you're being
Who's
the a-hole trying to convince him, convince him.
If you want some feathers, oh, boy.
Nice knowing you, sir.
Just saying.
First your wife, now.
You want to do the tomahawk chop?
Yeah, I was going to. I didn't know if they did it or not.
You were excited to do it. You
totally
said you're
not
in the
doing
break.
It.
You could not wait to do it.
Totally not doing it.
Put a headdress on.
Let me, well.
All right, so if you just joining us, we found out in a dead heat between Mark Berman and John McClain that news has broke that the Houston Texans have announced, thanks to Cal McNair, that Bill O'Brien will retain the title of general manager and make it official, and Jack Easterby will become the executive vice president of football operations. Your thoughts?
You know my thoughts.
Yes, we've already talked about your thoughts.
I mean, really, it's just reiterating what I said the Monday after they got their ass handed to them by the Chiefs. It's the fact that the organization doesn't change. They didn't even fire Romeo Crennel. They just moved him. He got fired up, basically. Which you do see in corporate sometimes where someone sucks so bad that they're like, let's just give him a job as a manager somewhere and just get him out of here. Romeo Crennel got fired up for his ineptness. Bill O'Brien, guess what? Now he got fired up too. He got fired and promoted. He's like, nope, you're no longer the head coach. You're the head coach and GM, buddy. Who do I like? Cal's an idiot. I don't understand how they're running this organization. Bro, did you not watch the game, Cal?
It's pretty bad because, like I said, I expected to hear from Cal McNair within 24 to 48 hours of that debacle in Kansas City. We didn't hear from him at all. So the fans are left hanging. We want to know. Everybody wants answers. You just want his head on a platter.
You know, I mentioned the fact that Bill O'Brien is that chick that you take on a date in the regular season that looks good, and then when you get at home and you're ready to bump uglies, and she takes off her makeup and everything, she's this hideous woman that looks nothing like what she was on the date, and that's him. And Cal McNair is just like, well, at least we're banging. I mean, you know, a division title is second base, Cal. I don't know you just got to second base with an ugly chick, Cal, and you're happy with that. That's where you're going. You're like, hey, you know what? As long as we get to second base with this ugly chick, we're good. At least we're playing ball, baby. Good Lord, be better, Texans. Want more.
And the other question that it behooves you to ask is what does Bill O'Brien, because Nick, you bring up the point, like, did Mr. McNair, before he passed away, just love Bill O'Brien so much that he became untouchable. But what did he do along the way to be able to have this much power, to have almost seemingly every year where he stumbles and falls, he gets and receives more and more titles and power. And he hasn't won what like Bill Belichick. He hasn't won like his mentors. He continues to wallow in mediocrity and win a division title here and there, but he gets more. And you have to ask yourself, why? Why is all of this happening? And by the way, not only that he keeps taking on more and getting more, but he also keeps creating scapegoats for his mistakes. Romeo Crennel, we all knew it after the Chiefs game. There was no way he was coming back. No way. That was going to be the guy that was going to pay the price for Bill O'Brien. But part of the deal was, you're going to be the scapegoat publicly, but we're going to quietly keep you around. Okay? But then you got Chris Olsen. Chris Olsen, 13 years with the front office, responsible for negotiating contracts and getting contracts done. By all intents and purposes, and everybody that you talk to, they say, this guy was good. He did his job well. And all of a sudden, because Bill O'Brien could see coming down the pipe, they're going to come at me about the Nick Martin deal. They're going to come at me about Merciless. They're going to start coming at me why Tunsil wasn't signed to extension when we made the trade. Well, I can just put it all on this dude because we're going to fire him next. It's unbelievable that he not only has the power that he has, but he also has the ability to basically set people up for failure to take the blame for his mistakes.
I really am trying to wrap my brains around what is happening over there, and I just don't understand it. I really don't understand it, and I feel bad for the fans. I really feel bad for football fans in this town that are so desperate for a team to get to the Super Bowl. Who knows?
I'm with you on feeling bad for the fans.
Absolutely. Maybe one day Bill O'Brien gets – I'm just kidding. It's just not going to happen. I will say this, though. He's got a quarterback that could do it. He's got a receiver that could do it. He's got, well, it's a defense, an aging defensive end that could have done it.
Ian Rappaport adds on to the release from the Texans by saying, the promotion of O'Brien further solidifies Nick Caserio won't be in Houston in any capacity. And as we just talked about, Romeo Crennel will stay on the staff in a key role on defense, sources say.
Yeah. He got fired up. He's going to be the assistant head coach and, you know, whatever it is to as far as defensive coordinator goes.
And this happened when Vrabel took over as DC.
He was assistant head coach. That's exactly right.
So, I mean, I just, the more you want change, the more things stay the same, and the more it becomes painfully obvious that your goals for this team are not his. He can blow smoke up your ass in a release and say, now we're going to set our sights on a world championship. But what he doesn't tell you is the caveat is, hey, and if we don't get it, as long as we make money and have a home playoff game, I'm good.
The fact that Cal would even dare to mention a division title in his reasoning for giving O'Brien the GM job is laughable. It's laughable. Literally, like I said earlier, it's a division title is second base, bro. Cool. You felt up the NFL. Yay. You've done it five times. That's so great for you.
We're in the window, Nick. The parental pickup line.
I don't know why this always happens.
Sexual terminology.
I don't know why it always happens at 3 o'clock. We need to start making sex jokes at 1 o'clock.
Even with the general manager's title, if you're going to give him kudos for pulling off the, and we did, you know, he got the right personnel in the trade. Did he give up too much? Probably. But that's the thing. The growing concern is not that the deals that he made weren't good for the team, but the price you paid to get it. Because by all people asked and sources that Lance Zierlein and others have talked to, you got Duke Johnson. That was great. But you got Duke Johnson and gave up a third instead of a fourth or a fifth. You know, you gave up an extra couple of draft picks you probably didn't have to throw in there when you let the Dolphins control the talks and stay in a position of power. When you got Kenny Stills and Tunsil and what you got, you know, the best deal you made all year might be Carlos Hyde for an offensive lineman you were going to cut. And thankfully, there was no dollars to be made, thrown in, added incentives or contracts to sign.
I do want to say this in the interest of being fair.
Yeah.
Credit where credit is due. They made moves that they thought would help them win now. And in the regular season, they had a better season than I think most people thought they would.
Mm-hmm.
They won 10 games. We thought they would lose 10 games. Great. You're a great regular season head coach. That's awesome. But that's all you're ever going to be because that's all you've ever been so far. I want to give him credit because he's had way more winning seasons than losing seasons, but just barely.
Yeah, but
9-7.
That's
again.
Not what his world championship goals are in his statement.
I want to understand the long-term goal. And then you're like, okay, maybe I'm being too harsh. He has been the winningest coach, and, you know, the Texans win more than they lose and this, that, and the other. And then you watch the Chiefs game, and you see the 4th-and-1 fake punts and field goals and all the decisions. You're like, this dude's a dumbass. Why is he in the NFL?
Well, Barry, you know what we
did? So Cal McNair doubles down and goes, well, let's let him make decisions on the field and off the field. Well, because he was so good at it on the field.
I was going to say, when you sit back and look at all that, the first thing that you see is new title, more responsibilities. You're the general manager, sir. That's smart business.
Oh, my God.
All right, we'll continue with the final hour of the show. 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter, usual suspects, ESPN97.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. Is the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on the usual suspects, final hour of the show. Do me a favor, if you get some spare time today, check out sportsmap.com. Got a video up there on the Texans and Bill O'Brien prior to this announcement being made today, and it doesn't change. And I also have I had been kind of struggling with kind of getting my thoughts together on the whole Kobe thing and wrote a little article. Nick had a chance to preview it before I put it out there, but let me know your thoughts on that. I put that one out there, wrote a column this morning.
On Sports Map?
Yeah, check out sportsmap.com.
Cool. Very good.
All right, so before the break, we were – I guess making sure people knew the announcement that had been made by the Houston Texans that Bill O'Brien has officially taken the title of general manager, that Jack Easterby is now the executive vice president of football, that Cal McNair is evidently pleased with what these guys have been able to do. But it set you off. It set a lot of people off.
Yeah. Somebody texted, well, Josh and Beaumont said, if this was a one full year of full control and Super Bowl appearance or your fired deal, are you okay with it? Oh, yeah. Yes, please. Yes, please. If he doesn't get to a Super Bowl next year, tell me he's fired. I would be totally good with that. You got 1 year as the head coach and GM to win a Super Bowl or you're fired? Yeah, I would be fine. I could suffer through one more year as a fan. But I can't suffer through knowing that this is the next 5 years at least, well, of this franchise.
I was going to say, here's the other question. Do they sync up with the general manager's title and I assume extra money and contract or whatever that brings with it so that they're paralleled with his coaching?
You're not surely. Well, you know what? Maybe
you just don't know.
I was about to say, surely Cal McNair's not that dumb, but he made Bill O'Brien the GM, so maybe he is.
Well, they turned it over
maybe
to Chris.
Maybe he's dumb enough.
No, they turned it over to Chris Olsen to get the. No, they didn't.
Maybe he's dumb enough to go, well, you got your head coaching contract, but we're going to give you a separate contract for GM. That way, you just don't go nowhere forever. I feel like that's how Cal would talk. I don't know.
I feel like he and John McClain look very similar.
A little bit.
Yeah.
I don't like this promotion either, but would be this hard on him if he wasn't a jerk? Would we be this hard on him if it wasn't a jerk?
Did he use jerk?
He said.
I love that term.
A-hole. And then he said, I think the arrogance is what makes it worse. I mean, sure, that if Bill O'Brien was a nice guy, maybe I wouldn't be so ranty about it. But I probably still would because suck is suck.
It's not my job to do that.
Suck is suck no matter how nice you are.
Let me remind you, Gary Kubiak was a really nice guy.
But I'll tap for an answer.
Yeah, you're right. He was.
But people still called him on the carpet on his shortcomings.
I would agree. And I don't care how nice Bill O'Brien is. If he was a terrible head coach, then he would be a terrible head coach. And I don't think he's terrible. I don't think he's good enough. I think you've seen the best of Bill O'Brien as a coach. Now, he may get lucky and his players might bail him out 1 year and get him to an AFC title game or something like that. But it's going to be in spite of Bill O'Brien and not because, simply based on his track record so far. If the Texans make it to the AFC title game next year, I promise you it won't be because of him. It'll be in spite of him, Because let's face it, Deshaun Watson has the ability to lead this team all the way to a Super Bowl. He's that good of a quarterback in the NFL. And if he does it, you know, Deshaun Watson doesn't call the plays. You know, he's not Aaron Rodgers and just ignores the head coach and does what he wants. He's if Bill O'Brien says,
easy now, that's your team.
If Bill O'Brien says go for it on fourth down and run a quarterback sneak, then that's what he does. So you can only do so much with the coaching you've been given and the play calling.
So on planet Earth in the real world, if you suck at coaching like Freddie Kitchens does, you get fired and then you're lucky to get a job as a tight ends coach, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you suck at coaching in Detroit and you're Matt Patricia, even though you come from the Patriots tree, you get basically put on notice. You're not getting fired, but it better get good in a hurry. And you're not getting a new title, more money, and more responsibility. I'm just trying to put in perspective the fact that now, Baby O'Brien's a little bit better coach in the fact that he's won a couple division titles. He's won more seasons than he's lost. But as we've stated over and over again, there's loftier goals in Texas with a football franchise in the NFL than just humbly winning it. I say humbly, that's false. Braggadociously or very confidently winning a division, getting one more playoff game, and then saying, you know what? We had a great year because I'm telling you so. You got to do more. And those that don't get rewarded with general manager's titles and extensions and more money and more control and the ability to fire those that you can blame for your mistakes. It's just, it's a mess. And instead of it getting better, it's obviously getting a lot worse.
Yeah, I'm baffled. I really am. And I'm not usually at a loss for words, but I just do not understand the move. I really don't get it. I don't know why they think this was. I mean, again, he's had a great regular season. Whoop-de-doo.
Now he's going to have a division winner schedule.
You mean to tell me that does Cal McNair care that little that he doesn't watch the games and see the awful play calls or the bad timeout management or any of that other stuff? It's like he doesn't. He's like, well, they won. Again, a lot of times they win in spite of him.
Let me throw something else out there for you, okay? Tyrann Mathieu, how many years did he play here? Mm-hmm. One. What did he do? He bailed. And what did he say on the way out? The locker room culture, everything that was there, okay? Now, in the video that I mentioned, I want people to watch because this was the very subject we're talking about involving Bill O'Brien. I don't know if you heard this or not. According to sources, and Lance has said this on the air, Bradley Roby is one and done. He is basically not talking to people in the organization anymore. He's like, no, I'm gone. I'm taking my talent somewhere else. He was on a one-year deal. He earned it. He was their best corner all year long.
Yeah.
And he's going to leave after a year. There's a pattern developing here, too. So I don't know what you're watching as an organization in terms of its functionality or dysfunction, as the case may be. But even the free agents that you bring in, head out as soon as they can instead of trying. Because you know what? Everybody's perception was Roby had a great year. He did earn it. So now they'll give him multiple years, more money, and they'll keep him. But the first thing you're hearing behind the scenes is he's gone.
Unbelievable.
What are you doing?
Unbelievable.
I'm looking at Tyrann Mathieu at the Super Bowl. Think he didn't make a great move? But by the way, he didn't just whether he's a class act or not, he seems like a really good dude. He seems classy. But you know what? He waited a little bit. He was prodded a little bit. And he used the opportunity once he signed with the Chiefs to not only talk about the football team he was joining and what he was thinking he was going to be able to do, which he's doing by playing in the Super Bowl. But he also said the locker room, the culture, the things that were going on there wasn't for him. That's a problem for your football team.
It is.
Not to be rewarded. That was my overall, because you're rewarding, like I said, you're rewarding a coach who's just been meh. A first-time general manager who has overspent to get better. And a guy that signs players and brings them in for a year, and then they don't want to be here anymore. That's the culture you want?
I don't know. It's pretty bad. Doc, you there?
Tell you what, we'll go to break. We'll come back. We'll try and catch up with Coach Doc if he's still there. Final half hour of the show. 30 minutes on the clock. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back, final half hour of the show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us along for the ride. We take you till 4. Blitz takes you till 7. Reminder, if you missed any portion of the show, go to ESPN975.com. Click on the show tab for The Usual Suspects at the top of the page. You can catch up on the hours you missed. And while you're on the front page, you can also follow the directions to download the app. Take us anywhere, everywhere. Never miss another show. Now, we were getting a little heated, and we were venting in terms of this promotion that Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby got with the Texans. So let's do something to lighten the mood and keep our suspects happy.
Okay.
We like to give back to those of you that are loyal to the show. So here's an opportunity. Super Bowl Sunday, I don't know what you got planned, but how about a Rockets game at 1 p.m. as the Rockets take on the Pelicans, featuring number one overall pick Zion Williamson. It'll be his first appearance in Houston. It's going to be a big deal. And because it is, and because you are too, to us, we want to take care of you. Therefore, we're going to give away two tickets to the game. It's the Rockets and the Pelicans, Sunday at 1 o'clock, so you can go to the game, catch everything, then go home and or otherwise and catch the Super Bowl. It is going to be must-see TV. It's going to be Harden, Westbrook, and the Rockets taking on Zion and the Pelicans. Super Sunday, 1 p.m. tip-off. Tickets remain at rockets.com. However, two tickets, one pair of tickets, Sunday's game, caller 15, 713-780-3776. Caller 15 at 713-780-ESPN. You get two tickets to see Zion Williamson's first appearance in Houston, Texas. Good luck. So there's that.
From the text line.
Okay.
A couple of people. Well, actually, I'm sorry, from Twitter, not the text line. I deleted all the tweets. We had a bunch of texts from several hours ago that are no longer relevant. But Dr. Dre on 290 said, imagine if Tunsil walks, and somebody else said, what if Watt opts for free agency? Remember now, and I said, God, I kind of hope both of them happen, but you have to be realistic. They do have the franchise tag, so they, if Tunsil decides he doesn't want to sign a deal, they'll just franchise him.
Still going to have to overpay him.
Still going to have to overpay him, but they'll franchise him. Well, he's going to be the highest paid tackle if they don't do that. He's going to ask for, because then what? If you get to franchise him a couple years, then you're going to be overpaying him at that point, or you're going to have to sign him to a deal, or you end up with nothing. So, yeah, it could be a very costly game of chicken for the Texans in that regard. And the same is true for Watson. Watson could be like, yeah, I don't want to be here. I'm going to go. They'll just franchise him, make him play here a couple years, a la Kirk Cousins in Washington. But at the end of the day, Kirk Cousins is no longer a Redskin. So it's not like they'll be gone right now, but boy, if there was a revolt and your stars don't want to be here, it would speak volumes about what they think about Bill O'Brien. But that's not going to happen in the case of Watson. He came out and fully endorsed him after that game, said that he's the guy, and boy, I was really disappointed to see that. And I do want to point out that somebody else said, I don't like this organization in the front office. I don't like what Cal does. I don't like what Bill O'Brien does. I don't like what any of those guys do, but I love the players. And I get that.
Sure,
I do too.
Absolutely. They're likable
my
players.
Anger, my angst, and my not wanting to support this team has nothing to do with the players. I love a lot of the players on this team. I really do. As a fan, I think they're great. But I'm not going to continue to throw money at an inept front office and head coach.
Here's another interesting question, too, because there is a large portion of the population that feels just like what you were just talking about from a fan perspective. They love the players. But you have to consider the fact that part of the reason why you might have to part with some of these players or make some tough decisions is because of the two things that we've been talking about again, which is the coaching and, more importantly in this case, the general manager. Because let's not forget, you made Nick Martin the second highest paid center in the game. You made Whitney Mercilus the sixth highest paid linebacker in the game. Okay? So at some point now, you know that Deshaun Watson's contract's coming up, Laremy Tunsil's contract's coming up, and oh, by the way, J.J. Watt's on the books for a lot of money. You're really going to find out what's going on in terms of how they handle that, because we know he's beloved. And we know in the past he's been a beast.
Let me stop you right there. He ain't going nowhere.
And that's what I mean. And if he is going nowhere and they're not going to restructure or try and do something so that it gives them some financial flexibility so that they can actually get better, that tells you all you need to know about Cal McNair and everybody below.
Well, you could bring in George Halas and Vince Lombardi. And they would be the same way. He ain't going nowhere.
I disagree. There's plenty of football teams that will say, thanks for the memories, but if you aren't performing at that level, they would consider. Well, now, the first thing they'd ask you to do is restructure.
But there are plenty of football teams that you think might do that, but those football teams didn't go through Hurricane Harvey and watch this man single-handedly raise that much money and help this community and be so beloved and so thought of and so a city so enamored with him. Dude, they would be more the anger that would occur if they traded J.J. Watt should be the anger that people have now that they didn't fire O'Brien and instead made him the GM. But I promise you, if they got rid of J.J. Watt, the Tammys and accounting of the world would lose their mind.
But I don't think it would change anything in the organization. I don't think Bill – I think Bill would still be untouchable. I think that – no changes would be made in the front office or on the coaching staff. And it just seems to me that Cal has given him 150% carte blanche to do whatever he wants.
But you don't know the conversations. Hey, you GM, you do what you want, but Deshaun Watson's untouchable. J.J. Watt is untouchable.
Now, granted, you got to run those by him, too. Deshaun Watson.
Well, and again,
that's going to be in the $40 million a year range.
They will. You don't move up. And again, this is the same thing with Laremy Tunsil. You don't mortgage your future unless you're a dumbass and not sign these guys. So look, you might be right. 20. You might be right. Maybe they don't sign them because it's not the sharpest tools in the shed over there running this organization.
Exactly. I'm sorry. With that said, I believe, Nick, that we do have Doc now. So let's give Doc a try. Doc, what's going on?
Hey, fellas. How y'all doing today?
What's up, man?
Man, I'm listening to y'all. I'm pulling off from the school, and I turn on the radio, and I hear what y'all talk. And I hadn't heard this until I turned on the radio. I can't believe that they gave. Oh man, what fans are going to have to do is do it with their dollar. You know, quit buying and spending money, PSLs and all that. Quit spending money, and then you're gonna see the McNairs do something different. That's the only way you're going to do something. I don't mind you being, I want you to be competitive. The product on the field, you know, it's sort of like the San Antonio Spurs are always competitive. They got a chance to win a championship every year. We don't. What we have are a lot of guys that, you know, they're saving his job. You know, we're going to waste the years with Watson and D-Hop. We're going to waste those years. And it's going to just be so disappointing by the time they realize it. We're going to have been wasted 4 or 5 years. And that's what's happening now. I'm so disappointed. I've told my children, I've told my coaching staff, hey, look, we're not spending any more dollars. You know, we're not taking a bunch of kids, you know, to an event. As a matter of fact, I just made a donation to one of the Houston Astros nonprofits. I will not do another dime out there on Kirby. And I hope you guys feel the same way I do. I hang up and listen. Man, love y'all's show.
Thanks, Appreciate it, man.
I'm glad to hear that. I really do. And I don't say that because I'm a Texans hater. I say it because I love the Texans. I love the football team. I want this team to be great, and that's why the anger comes out. And I hope that the other fans are like that, because Doc is right. The only way that Cal McNair and that organization listens is if you impact their wallet.
No doubt.
Period. And if you guys out there continue to accept this and just ho-hum show up to games and do your little tailgates and pay your parking money and pay your $15 beers and all that, they're just going to be yep. Boy, there's a sucker born every minute, and here's 60,000 of them.
It would be, to some degree, just such a shame and a tragedy that you're going to waste the best years of Deshaun Watson, DeAndre Hopkins, and for the life of his career as a Texan, J.J. Watt, in that you had the best players at the position, or one of the top five or six at the position in the case of Deshaun Watson, and yet you just pissed him away because you just continually had screw up after mess up after just stupid move that left you further away from your goals, at least our goals for the franchise, and just kept on the same even keel that you've been doing, which is, hey, winning the division's good enough. Home playoff game, even better. But we're good with that.
Yeah.
It's sad.
Somebody texted and said, the Texans should get rid of Watts. His body is broken. And I agree with you. I think Watts should be gone. I wouldn't trade Watt, but Watts, I would definitely get rid of Watts.
Was that Don Slick Watts that used to play in the NBA?
I don't know. What? Watts. Okay.
Well, what's bothering you, Barry?
By the way, I just want to say thank you to somebody that texted the show early on, said they came to a show this weekend, and it was great from start to finish and encouraged me to keep doing what I'm doing. I appreciate you. Thank you for coming out. Thanks for the support. All of us, Nick and Joel and myself, appreciate all of the support and love that the Suspects give us on air and off. Yep. Very much appreciate it.
Nick has encouraged you to continually, strongly go after comedy.
Yeah. Nick wouldn't mind if I had a stroke on the way home.
No, I don't think he wants to hurt anybody else because that would mean he'd like wreck the car.
I really feel
I think when you pulled in the driveway, he'd be okay with
it. I really feel like he's rooting for an aneurysm where he's just like, go. He's like team aneurysm or something. I really do. He's like team clogged artery.
He's just ticked off that you're such a germaphobe that he can't like spike your drink or something like that.
Well, I mean, he could, but probably detect it.
I think once you grabbed him below the belt, all bets were off too. He thought you guys were going to be together a long time, and you.
Somebody said, which coach would you hire right now over Bill O'Brien? Just throw out a name.
Okay. Eric Bieniemy.
Sure. You could have, bro, you literally could have said Rosie O'Donnell.
Josh McDaniel.
You could have said Rosie O'Donnell, and I'd be like, yep, bring her in. Let's give her a shot.
Bob Uecker.
It can't be any worse.
He missed the flag.
Yeah. It really couldn't be any worse on the field. Out there on the field managing in game, Rosie O'Donnell couldn't be any worse than Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, it's not a good day if you're a Texans fan.
No, it's not. And if you think it is, you're dumb.
And it's not what everybody was hoping for when he started to hide behind a rock when the Astros punishment came out a few weeks ago. And we said the one guy that's enjoying all of this is Bill O'Brien, because it's deflecting all of the criticism that was coming his way after the Chiefs game. Now, not only is the criticism not coming from his own organization, but the promotions are. Pretty sad stuff. So, all right, we're gonna roll through into our final break. We take you till 4. Blitz takes you till 7. Fred, AJ, Aaron, they'll take you on your drive home. So they got you covered all the way up until 4 o'clock. We'll wrap it up and put a bow on it next. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
G'day, mate. This is Sam Windsor of the Houston Sabercats. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back, final segment of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Tuesday in the big city. It's Barry, Nick, Joel. We don't have a Way Back Wednesday theme. Nothing new in the city at all there.
I was just about to say, we need to have one before we leave so I can do my list because improv workshop doesn't start until 6:45.
I really think, Nick, we should probably sit on this for a while. We'll probably come up with something tomorrow morning.
That's how you are.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fair
enough.
Did you see...
No.
Tomorrow night's Clippers-Lakers game.
Postponed
by the NBA.
Yeah.
Okay with it?
I am. Apparently, I was watching Shout Out this morning.
Uh-huh.
And no, it wasn't Shout Out. What's the one with Stephen A?
Well, there's Get Up.
Oh, that's the one, yeah.
Get Up is the first one.
No, Get Up is Greeny, right?
Yeah. And then
Stephen
first
A's
take.
Is, oh, that's what it is, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Of the show. Why don't you know the name of this show? I asked the question. I mean, I know your show is 98.5.
I mean,
I'm sorry, that's my show.
That's my show. I was watching that, and Stephen A. said, excuse me, he said that he thinks that this was a request by, he's hearing or whatever, that it was a request on behalf of Vanessa to postpone it, okay. Kobe's wife.
All right.
And which I would be doubly good with.
If it came from her, I'm totally with it. One of the other arguments that I heard, and it was posted on some of my social media accounts as well, from folks that worked within the NBA, that this goes much deeper than any other organization possibly, or unless you can say that you've had a guy that's been in the organization as long as Kobe has. This, they're saying that this has touched everybody from the ticket takers and the people that work on game nights to so many people in the front office that had literally a personal relationship with Kobe Bryant, and that they had grief counselors not only for the players and the team and the coaching staff yesterday, but that they also had the counselors and everybody available for the people in the front office, and they may need them for the people that work at Staples, because it goes that deep in terms of how many people are affected by this entire thing, and the fact that if they give them off tomorrow night, the Lakers have up until Friday before they play again. And it would be at home. So that gives them more time to kind of digest all of this and deal with it.
I think it makes sense. I think, you know, a lot of people say, well, Kobe would want him to play. I get it. No, I totally understand that. But I think Kobe would also understand, too, if he were here and we were talking about a superstar of his caliber, if LeBron or, you know what I mean? Kobe, I think, would be the same person to tell you, hey, look, I understand grief and I understand sadness. He's a human being. He was compassionate. I think he would totally get that. And I think, and it's so, it's such a weird thing that we do where, well, Kobe would want you to play or not play. And we try to think about those things. You know, at this point, it's really not even about that. It's about the family and it's about the employees. It's about the organizations. It's about the players. Are they ready to play?
That's the biggest thing to me,
you know,
too.
It has to be difficult for some of those guys to go out on that court and try to compete, and with that
as
on their
I
mind,
told you,
it has to be
very
difficult.
Whether you knew him directly or indirectly, and we mentioned the first one that really knew him well that had to take the game off was Kyrie Irving. Last night in a game that you were talking about yesterday as an important game between the Mavs and the Thunder, Chris Paul took that game off.
Yep,
because Chris Paul had a very, and I had mentioned that, had a very, very strong relationship with Kobe, and so you can say all you want about what the league should do and what everybody else should do. But when you start addressing it as what the players need to do, because so many of these players, as we mentioned, this was their Michael Jordan. This was their idol, their hero. Whether you knew him personally or you knew of him, the majority of the guys in the NBA played the game and got started in the game because of him. And then when you take it deeper into the guys that literally knew him, felt like he was a brother. Look at LeBron's post last night on Instagram when he finally said something. He was rambling. He said every time he even tried to come to grips with this enough to put something out there, he came to tears.
Yeah.
That he's struggling to deal with all of this, and he hopes later that there'll be more that he can put out there. But this is a big, big deal. And if the players are vulnerable in any way, force them to play, they could get hurt.
Yeah. Or it's just, I mean, if they need that time, they need that time.
Yep.
You know, who are you as a league or a front office or whatever, to tell people how to deal with the loss of a friend or a loved one? And it's really difficult to do. And like you said, there are people up and down that organization with the Lakers that were close to him. So I get it. I'm okay with it. It's one regular season NBA game. They're not canceling it. They're just moving it. This is not a big deal. And it shouldn't be a big deal.
No.
And I don't think anyone is going to make it a big deal. I think it's just that, you know, we're talking heads, and it's a good discussion. And, you know, Stephen A.'s stance was, no, they shouldn't because Kobe wouldn't want them to. Well, you know what? There's also the compassion and for the fans and the friends and the organization and the family. And and I think at the end of the day, Kobe would understand that. So,
yeah, and if you missed it last night, Team USA's women's team played the UConn Huskies in an exhibition.
Oof.
And I was going to say before you woofed, too, was there's still things that are popping up now that get to me. Last night, they not only honored Kobe, but the rumor was that Gianna's wish and dream and her intention was she was going to play basketball for UConn at some point. She wore number 2 for the Mamba Academy. during intros and before the game, her number two jersey was on the bench with a bouquet of flowers as they honored her. And you want to talk about getting me? That one got me in a hurry.
Yeah, that one was and again, there wasn't much that had me, you know, emotional to that to extent where to tears. But the one where the for some reason the female best college players with Oregon State in a circle holding hands and his one of his really good friends on the Oregon State on the Oregon team crying got to me. And then seeing that picture this morning of the number two on the chair with the flowers, that was that got to me a little bit. That was pretty sad. And I don't think it was a rumor. I think it was pretty well known. And because Kobe talked about it apparently in his circles.
They wore
that she wanted her UConn gear. That was it. That was her goal. Like she wanted to go and play at the University of Connecticut and for Geno. And class move by them.
There's one more I put out there on Twitter too, and it's the one that hit me the most because of the fact that again it goes back to the whole dad thing. L. Duncan, who's an anchor on SportsCenter, wasn't gonna. We talked about how many people said that they knew him when they didn't. She said, "I only had one interaction with him. It was backstage in an event for ESPN. It was a half hour interaction." But she goes, "Oh my God, I wanted to get a selfie with Kobe," and she goes, "Here it is." But it took me a half hour to get it. Why? Because before I could even say a word, as I was 8 months pregnant, he came up to me. And he started asking me questions. And he started asking me what I was having and when I was due. And the fact that we started talking about girls. And he started making me feel so good about the fact that he said he loved having girls and that he is a girl's dad. And that if he could have five girls, he would have them. And she got so choked up that she said by the end of the conversation, what she felt for how he cared about her and the way he had the conversation with her.
And he didn't have to do that.
Didn't have to do any of that.
Yeah.
Just wow.
It just
speaks
volumes about the kind of person he was.
Yeah, and that's why in the article that I wrote, look, it's okay as a Rockets fan to say you hated him when they played the Lakers for all those years, but just respect after the game is over and he walks away that he did it the right way. You don't hear the stories about him being an a-hole when the cameras aren't on him or him mistreating people. You hear from the ball boys to the media to the charities to everybody in between to the people we talked about, the ushers at the Staples Center, that he took care of people. Barry Warner wrote a long diatribe on Facebook last night talking about the fact that he was introduced through his dad and that anytime Kobe came to town, he not only talked to Barry, he signed whatever Barry needed signed. He did whatever Barry needed done. And it's like, that's Barry Warner.
Yeah.
And Kobe is signing for him. And most of that, Michael Jordan wouldn't sign for hardly anybody.
Yeah. So real quick, two Way Back Wednesday ideas. I think they're both pretty good. They involve Kobe.
Okay.
One of them was songs from bands in Philly and L.A. in honor of Kobe.
Yeah.
And the other one, which I like way more, was how about Way Back Wednesday songs from the years Kobe won championships. That was from Lone Star Jimmy. I really like that one.
That's a good
idea. I like that one. Nicholas, you good with that one? The years that he won championships?
Yes, sir.
There you go. There's our Way Back Wednesday theme.
There you have it.
Excellent.
All right, gang. We appreciate you being suspects and always being fans of the
Chiefs
show.
Go Chiefs or Packers!
You Chiefs have, they're in the Super Bowl. They have enough fans. So for Nick and Barry, I'm Joel. Have a great night, everybody. The Blitz is coming up next. ESPN 97.5.
Then I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.
Yeah, boy.